So if you have had any reservations about salvation and the eternalness of it, maybe these scriptures will lay any fears you have to rest. Most of the people assembling in this town this morning and the surrounding area, and for that matter across the United States, believe that you can lose your salvation. That is one of the Baptist distinctives, and one of the things that I've been told many times. They'll say, where does it say in the Bible, once saved, always saved? Well, it doesn't say, once saved, always saved. But what the Bible teaches is very plain. And that expression that you hear people use, you don't ever hear me use it except now, is something that I've come to hear more and more. So I hope you'll pay close attention to these scriptures this morning. And I hope these scriptures themselves can make it very, very clear that once you become God's child, you're absolutely, without question, His child forever. Now man is born with a problem. He's born under the condemnation for sin. And I've heard people that are lost say, well, it doesn't seem fair to me that I'm being sent to hell for Adam's sin. Well, you're not being sent to hell for Adam's sin. You're being sent to hell because you won't accept God's solution, which is the fullness of His Son. And that's the reason people go to hell. Now, you may say to me, well, I didn't sin, Adam did. You know, this DNA is a wonderful new thing. It's a wonderful principle. Do you know that if they were to dig up my father and check his DNA against mine, it would conclusively prove that I was his son? And if they were to dig up my grandfather and check his DNA against my father and myself, it would definitely prove I was his direct descendant. As a matter of fact, if you went back to Adam, you'd all find some of your DNA in Adam. You see, you were in Adam in the garden. You were in him, and he sinned. So you're born in Adam. But you must be born in Christ in order for God's solution to be put into force. So we're going to talk about man's problem, condemnation for sin. We're going to talk about God's solution, the fullness of His Son. Now, we're expositing, or I'm expositing, through John. And this is John 1:16, and I'll exposit on John 1:16 and John 1:17. So we're going to take a look at John 1:16. Then we're going to look at Colossians 2:9. Then we're going to look at John 1:17. Then we're going to look at Colossians 2:10. Now, the same Holy Spirit wrote this book, and He is perfectly consistent in everything He says, so it all fits together. Now notice what it says in John 1:16. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. You say, well, lost people haven't received Him. You're absolutely right. But what this is talking about, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Remember when Paul said, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily? Remember right here in this first chapter of John where it said that the Word, and over in 1 John where it said they'd handled Him, they'd seen Him, He was among us? God let Himself be seen in one lone, single, solitary man in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. God didn't come partially. God came in a man. And they all saw Him. And when He came, He didn't show Himself partially. He showed all of Himself in Christ. And all men He was sent to. And the fullness of God in Christ has appeared to all men. Some receive Him, some believe it, some don't. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. That's what Jesus is all about, grace. In Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when Jesus came, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Men saw him. What men are taught about him today is that he was God. He said, I and the Father are one. And that's why Israel rejected him. They could not accept that he was God. They could not accept he was his son or of God. Now, let's take a look at John 1:17, the very next verse. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now take a look at Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him. He's all you need. You were born in Adam, condemned under sin, headed for hell. But when you got saved, God put you in Christ, and ye are complete in him. You don't have to add anything to him, take away from him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's my Savior. Now, if the devil can get me out of Christ, I can go to hell. If the devil can overcome Christ and win a victory over him, I can go to hell. But I can never go to hell as long as Jesus Christ is alive. And as long as he is the head of all principality and power. Well, what is my faith? I believe he is and always will be. And my faith is totally in him and nothing else. Galatians 2:21. Now, why is my faith totally in Christ? And in no way, shape, or fashion, before I was saved, as I was saved, or now that I'm saved, in no way or fashion, why is my faith not in my works? Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And you are complete in him. I'm not complete in the law or in my completeness of keeping it, past, present, or future. I'm complete in a person, the only person who ever kept the law, Jesus Christ. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. When Adam sinned, he lost all his righteousness before God, and I inherited it. Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now look at Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why have we all sinned? Because we were all in Adam. We didn't just inherit his DNA. We inherited his sinful nature, which is a spiritual functioning part of his DNA. And we were born with his spiritual DNA. And we are born short, far short, of the glory of God. Now let's take a look at Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sinner entered into the world, and death by sin. Okay, how does that affect me? And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I was born dying. I was born destined to death. And once my body parts started functioning in my mother's womb, it was just a question of time until one day they would stop functioning and I would no longer be physically alive. Because I was born under the penalty of death for sin. That's why Christ died. Christ died that I might be made alive in him. I was born dead in sin, in Adam. But when I got saved, I was made alive in Christ unto eternal life. Now let's take a look at Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Never in the history of mankind has there ever been a righteous man who lived other than God. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he said, I and the Father are one. So I don't have any righteousness. You don't have any righteousness. We're born under sin, born under the curse of the law, born dying. Somebody has to give us righteousness for God to accept us. And it has to be a man. And it was the man, Christ Jesus. That's why I trust in him implicitly and completely and have my faith in nothing else for my salvation, past, present, or future. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. Death passed upon all men. Now take a look at Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Christ died for the Adamic nature's sin. You're not a sinner because you sin. You're not a sinner because you lie, cheat, steal, envy, have hate and jealousy. That doesn't make you a sinner. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you were born a sinner and are by nature a sinner. And that is what Christ died for, what you are by birth and by nature. And he has to give you a new birth to live in you so you can be placed in him and he can be placed in you and he can give you the gift of eternal life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Of course, that's Adam. So by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. I am not made righteous by my works. I am made righteous by the obedience of Christ. And it is his righteousness that God gave me. And that is what the gift of salvation is. His imputed righteousness that allows you to come into the presence of God and God to be justified in allowing you to do so. Now let's take a look at Romans 7:14. One of the most dedicated Christians who ever lived on this earth, the Apostle Paul, made this statement. For we know that the law is spiritual. There's no question about it. Only the Spirit of God could have kept it. It's his standard of righteousness. For we know that the law is spiritual. Paul said, but I am carnal, soul under sin. Paul had been saved for many years. Been to church to church. Dedicated to God's work. Sold out to the Lord. He said, but I am carnal. He didn't say I used to be carnal. He said, ego eimi. I am carnal in the flesh, sold under sin. How did he know he was sinful? How did he know he was sold under sin? Look at Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And did Paul have a schoolmaster? He was a Hebrew of the Hebrew, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, studied at the feet of the great sage Gamaliel. He knew the law backwards, forwards, and sideways. And that's what kept pricking his heart. When he saw Stephen stoned and they cast his garments, their garments in front of him as a witness, he knew the law was spiritual, but he knew he was a sinner. And it kept pricking his heart. And finally, it brought him to Christ. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, soul under sin. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to teach us how sinful we are, that we might be justified by faith. It was the law that brought me to Christ, lying to my grandmother, lusting, looking at girls, doing things I shouldn't do. Who taught me that was wrong? The Word of God, the law of God. And it brought me to Christ in absolute desperation, and I threw myself in his hands and had no other hope of salvation. I was justified by faith. I'm still justified by faith. I will always be justified by faith because it's faith in Jesus and nothing else. I don't like being a sinner. I don't like it at all. I don't like myself when I'm jealous, when I'm envious, when I think bad thoughts. When certain things go through my mind that I know are wrong, 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 the law still affects me, thank God. The Spirit of Christ in me stays on me like a duck on a June bug. Here's what I am. Same thing Paul was. in Romans 7, 24, 25. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. I wish I wasn't a sinner. I wish I could just love like the Lord loves and not have this flesh to contend with." Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul was born dying, born sold under sin. But then he answered the question, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what did Paul do every day? Same thing I do. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Here I am preaching and teaching the truth of God, and I'm serving the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Here I am, 71 years old. You create the right set of circumstances, and I'll sin like a banshee in the flesh. You say, "Well, Brother McElmurray, you're going to hell." Oh, no. No, 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 no. Jesus is righteous. Jesus is sinless. Jesus is my Savior, and I'm covered with His blood. My flesh will serve the law of sin until it ceases to function and rots in a grave. But my soul has a choice as long as it's alive. Will I follow the Spirit of Christ in me that's perfect, that God gave me when I was born in Him 59 years ago? Or will I follow the Spirit in my flesh? Which will I follow? If I follow the flesh, God convicts me. I confess my sins and am forgiven. If I follow the Spirit, I rejoice in the Spirit and am filled with joy and happiness. You wonder why your lives are you wonder why you're unhappy? That's the reason. After you get saved, if you try to walk in the flesh, you're going to be unhappy. If you try to walk in the Spirit, terrible things may go on around you. But you're going to be happy because you're obeying God. Now let's take a look at Romans 5:18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Because Adam sinned, the offense of one, judgment came upon all men, all of us, because we inherited the condemnation that came upon Adam when he sinned. For by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to salvation." It's free. Jesus bought and paid for it. It is your freedom from the condemnation of God. And when you trust in Jesus, He takes you out from underneath that condemnation, forever forgives you, and you are no longer under the condemnation of God for the Adamic nature you inherited. That's why Christ died. Christ died for what you are, and you are a sinner by birth and nature, for the justification of life. That's why He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Why? I was born spiritually dead. In order to be made alive in Christ, to have His righteousness so I can come before God, and God can be just in receiving me, I had to be born again. And I was born again some 59 years ago when I repented of my sins, acknowledged my sinful condition, and threw myself upon the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, calling on His name to save me. And that's the only reason I'm saved. Remember where we started? Grace, grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's a gift. "It's not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, this is very important. This is what the new birth is. And I know I've preached it to you before, but I hope that you get it enough to where you can show it to other people. "For we are His workmanship." Well, that's God's workmanship. Well, what about God? What does the Bible say about God? God is a spirit. God is spirit. Well, this is a spiritual workmanship. What is it? Created in Christ Jesus. I was created in the womb of Blaulaine McElmurray, in Adam, in sin, under the condemnation of God. When I got saved, I'll tell you what the Spirit's workmanship was. He created me in Christ Jesus, and He had a purpose. The church
just seems to think that the whole purpose of this is get out there, get more lost souls saved, 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 get more lost souls saved. That's fine. But what about good works? We've substituted mass evangelism, and we've substituted a quickie method of salvation. And we do that, but God saved us for this purpose, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And good works are when you let God change your life. Good works are when you start following the teachings of Christ in your everyday conduct. And it's when you start walking in Jesus and following the Spirit that the most full benefits to a lost and dying world are gained. This hyper-evangelism kick that the church goes on where it acts like the only purpose of the church is to get lost souls saved. And that's the reason that we've got so much conflict in our churches, because they're full of carnal babes that don't want to hear anything but salvation by grace, security of the believer, and Jesus is coming. They don't want to hear about works. They don't want to hear about faithfulness in church. They don't want to hear about giving in church. They don't want to hear about life-changing attitudes in their own personal outlook. They just want to be assured they're going to heaven no matter what they do. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why God saved you, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. Well, what about this condemnation of God? Well, that's been removed. I'm not under the condemnation of God anymore. I've got the Spirit of God. You've got to have the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. You've got to have the Spirit to walk in good works. You can't perform good works unless you've been born again. Now take a look at Romans 8, 1 and 2, which makes the point. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I've been in Christ Jesus for 59 years. He's not going to hop out of me, and I'm certainly not going to hop out of him. Well, I couldn't walk any other way but after the flesh until I became the spiritual workmanship of God, until I got saved. Now I can. There is therefore now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You can't walk after the Spirit unless you have him, and you don't have him unless you're his workmanship. And you can't perform good works unless you've been born again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I was born in the law of sin and death. I was born in Adam under the law, condemned to physical death and condemned to eternal separation from God. 59 years ago, I went to Jesus Christ, and I praise his name from the depths of my soul. For he covered me with his blood. He justified me by taking my sins in his own body on the tree. And he set me free from the eternal damnation that passed upon all men when they received the Adamic nature. And he set me free from condemnation to hell. John 8:36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free. Why am I not condemned? Well, Brother Mike Murray, it's because after you got saved, you started going to church regularly, and the Lord called you to preach, and you've preached more than 500 revivals. You've pastored this church for 29 years. You're a good man, and that's why you're free. Wrong. I'm only free for this reason. It has nothing to do with my works. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's a fact. I believe on him, on Jesus Christ, nothing else. He that believeth on him and his works is not condemned. No, that's not what it says. He that believeth on him is not condemned. I am not condemned. I've been set free. You've been set free if you're trusting in Jesus. Accept it. He that believeth not is condemned already. Here's why I'm not condemned. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, I have.
I believe in him. I don't believe in salvation by works. I don't believe in salvation by grace and baptism. I don't believe in salvation by faithfulness. I believe in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, who's the only man who ever lived a faithful life. And I accept him, and I believe in his name. He's the only begotten Son of God, and he's the only reason I'm going to heaven. Now, if the devil can get me out of him, I'll go to hell. Or if he can get him out of me, I'll go to hell. But I don't think the devil can. Matter of fact, I know he can. Look at John 5. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Well, I heard his word 59 years ago. And believeth on him that sent me. I believe God the Father sent him. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, I believe. And I believe that God sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And how many times have you heard me say, hath is a present indicative active? It means the moment I heard, I had it. And if I had it 59 years ago and I don't have it now, somebody told me a fib, because it's supposed to be everlasting, and God didn't tell me a fib. Will I ever go back under the condemnation of God? And shall not come into condemnation. I'll never go back under the condemnation of God. I'll never go to hell. Why? And it's passed from death unto life. I was born physically alive and spiritually dead. 59 years ago, I was made physically alive, not physically alive, but spiritually alive in the life of Christ Jesus, which he gave to me. Look at John 5:40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. That's why hell is going to be full. They tried everything else, from atheism to agnosticism to religion, to justify themselves before God. But Jesus alone was the only one who could give them his life and pass them from spiritual death in which they were born to eternal spiritual life. I've come to it. You say, well, it just seems like, well, Lord have mercy. Surely I ought to do something. Yeah, you ought to come to Jesus. You ought to come trusting Jesus, because you were born dying, because you're spiritually dead, and he's the only one who can give you eternal life. Look at 11:26, John 11:26. And whosoever liveth, well, I'm alive, 71 years old, and believeth in me, Jesus Christ, shall never die. Well, I'm going to die physically, but I'll never die spiritually. Then he asked the question, believest thou this? Yes, Lord, I do. And that's why I've been passed from death unto life, because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life. That's the only kind of life he gives, one that lasts forever. And they shall never perish. What did he say? And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 10:28. And I give unto them, it's a gift, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, you want to be saved this morning? As I've said many times, nobody but Jesus can do it. And he'll do it if you have faith in him, not in yourself. You're a helpless, lost sinner. You don't know whether you're going to heaven or hell. Settle it right now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, you've heard it. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. How do you get saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on his name, and he saves you. You say, well, is there any other way I can be saved? Nope. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, I've got this message for you this morning. It's a very simple one. If you've never come to Jesus Christ as a sinner, asking him to save you, you're lost. Now, I can't save you, or I can't give you magic words to save you. You've seen and heard the word of God. You need to be saved if your faith isn't in Jesus. And the only way you can be saved is by putting it in Jesus. In a few moments, we're going to have a silent moment of prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't know whether you're going to heaven or hell. Settle it this morning. And right where you are, pray to the only one who can save you. His name is Jesus Christ. He promised he will. How much faith do you have to have? Well, you'll be praying to someone you believe is alive. You wouldn't pray to a dead man. Now, for those of you who've already done this, why did God save you? Why did he perform his spiritual workmanship on you? Unto good works. Where are you supposed to perform them? In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You need to perform them in God's church. And to become a part of it, you're going to have to be baptized the way the Lord directed, by obedience. Do you know what a good work is? It's being obedient to God. You know what baptism is? It's the heart of a saved person being in obedience to Christ and uniting with the church. If you're already a member of one of the Lord's churches, you need to work in it. You need to serve in it. You need to make your life count for something in it. So there's certainly something that we all need to talk to the Lord about, either to be saved, or to ask for strength to submit to scriptural baptism, or to start being more faithful to God and his church. But in this silent moment of prayer, it's a personal matter between you and the Lord. I hope you'll take the time to talk to the Lord, whatever your case may be.